Hey, welcome to this new episode of Dreamers and Doers. Today I interview Shiva Rajaya, who's a big public figure here in Bali and in Ubud, where he hosts massive cacao ceremonies with more than 500 people, where we pray for love and his whole bad coaching and life mastery. I hope you enjoy. Also, if you like this podcast, don't forget to subscribe, to leave a nice review, and you can make a donation if you want to support it on Patreon and keep it advertising free. Enjoy. Hi, and welcome to episode number 56 of Dreamers and Doers, where I interview people who follow their passion and use it to make the world better. And I think that's you, Shiva. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. We both have a French accent. Yeah. I hope you can understand what we are saying. No, I'm just kidding. I'm from Switzerland as well, so we both speak French. Happy to be here with you, man. Thank you.
Thank you, Shiva. And so I met Shiva at a cacao ceremony, an ecstatic dance party at Akashahi in Ubud in Bali. And you were animating the cacao ceremony, which was, I'd say, an overwhelming feeling of love, because there are like 300, 400 people all praying for more love and respect for Mother Earth, for each other. It's so beautiful. So thank you for organizing this.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, it's a pleasure.
And as usual, we'll start with the guest's story. So Shiva, I'm really interested to know how you got into Tantra, which is because that's what we're going to talk about today. And yeah, a little bit of your path.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I come from Switzerland. I used to be a geologist a long time ago, but I quit this career like 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I've been always into yoga. When I was 16, I had some pain in my back and I started practicing some yoga and started practicing martial arts and meditation. And so diving full on into anything that had to do with spiritual practices. Mm-hmm. Then I was trained within the Kabbalistic system, learning about mantras and learning about different techniques of meditation, and so all that eventually expanded itself into touching the fields of Tantra and diving deeper into this reality, and that has been like the center of my life for like 25 years.
Okay.
You know, I wrote lots of books. I have a whole content, my brand Vital Coaching and Vital Tantra. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's all about life mastery and yeah.
And what drew you to my life mastery? Like, did you have a moment that created this?
Yeah, it's a very progressive thing. You know, in the beginning, you know, you have questions, like you have things happening in your life and you go like, what's the meaning of all that? Yeah. So you're really looking for meaning. You're looking for ways, for instance, when you get sick, right?
Yeah.
Or you feel like something is happening, you might be taken into a motorbike accident or something like that, and then you're like, what's going on? Why is this happening? You know, trying to understand the dynamics of life and the dynamics of connection and relationship. Like, for instance, right now, you and I are talking to each other, and there is the visual aspect of what's happening, but then there is all this energetic, and then sometimes you feel things. So the intention within this exploration is to understand beyond the veils of the physical reality, beyond the veils of the matrix. Is like you want to wake up, right?
Yeah.
Exactly like
Neo
in the Matrix. You go like, which pill will you choose? Do you want to stay asleep or do you want to wake up? So the moment you start meditating, actually, the moment you start closing your eyes and using, for instance, a breathing technique, right? If you have been doing Vipassana, you focus on feeling, on the sensations of what's happening in your body, for instance, or the sensations when you are breathing. And so that brings you into a profound state of relaxation and a state of awareness where your perception of reality starts shifting. And so once you start having those experiences, then you go like, oh my God, there is all
There's
that
so
stuff.
Much more.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's enough sometimes to have a powerful mystical experience, which means that suddenly you are going to enter into what we can call samadhi, samadhi states. So these are states of bliss or ecstasy. And so when you touch on that, you're like, wow, you know, you want to be in that state all the time. You want to be in that state of awakening presence, awakened presence all the time, because it's like it's just this pure orgasmic state of bliss. So if you take that one step further, and then you go like, Wow, it's not just meditation, it's not just sitting meditation, it's dynamic practices, it's using sexual energy or your voice or business or artwork, you know, it's like anything that you do. Like, for instance, one of the core things that I do in life is like I confront myself with the elements. I go in high mountains, in high Himalayas, you know, stay there freezing in lakes and, you know, just activating my body, you know. For instance, if you say that you this morning you were practicing some Wim Hof, you know, techniques. Yeah. Well, you know, why do you practice that? Is because it brings resources inside of you that that you would not access otherwise. So you can do that from a place which is personal development, you know, really stay within the four-dimensional state, or you can really access a mystical state. Mm. So when you access the mystical state, you consciously work with the force of the invisible. You know, you consciously start being like calling in with devotion, you know, forces that are much greater than ourselves, or that are part of ourselves. Yeah. But the thing is that it's not just this personality, you know, it's not just you with your physical body and your mind and your emotions. It's like beyond that, beyond the field of your personality, you've got your soul, you've got your spirit, you've got all this stuff, and we are just perceiving a tiny fraction of that reality.
And that's why I feel drawn to Tantra for that reason. Is that I became more spiritual, I'm drawn to that spirituality, but I feel sometimes, you know, here in Ubud, you'll see people who are very spiritual, but then are not very grounded in a physical realm. And I find that Tantra is probably one of the philosophies that resonates the most for me, because it's both spiritual, and as you said, you know, it's grounded into business and sex and everyday life. And so you have the two, like this podcast called Dreamers and Doers, right?
Yeah,
I like to combine
fantastic.
The two. So that's what drew me a bit to Tantra. But now I feel like, you know, it's a bit like yoga. That's the kind of words everyone has their own definition, and many things come under the Tantra umbrella.
Yeah,
so to give clarity to the listener, starting with myself,
what
is Tantra?
So, you know, everybody will give you a different definition. You can look at what we would call classical Tantra, right? So those are the secret scriptures and the practices that were practiced in India for, you know, hundreds of years. And within that context, you go back to what the teachers or the gurus have been teaching. So that happens within the context of lineages. For instance, if you go and you want to learn about classical Tantra, you've got to find a teacher, you've got to find somebody who is going to be your guide, a guru for years, and you are going to receive that teaching. He or she is going to give you very precise directions on what to practice and how to engage into that. So this is the classical Tantra, right? And then you have the field of the neo-Tantra, which is like taking some aspects of that. Some Westerners go to India and then they receive some of those teachings, and then they take that back into the West and they interpret it in their own way.
And just to go back to the beginning of what you were saying, so Tantra would be as wide as finding like a teacher to help you drive your life. That's that wide.
Well, yeah, of course. Like you know, the tantric field. When you go back to classical Tantra, this is the way the teachings were transmitted. Okay. You know, it's like,
so it's
instead
like
of
education almost?
Well, you know, the path of guru disciple that you have in India, right? With all the spiritual traditions.
Okay.
For instance, when you go and you learn classical music in India, you've got to find a teacher who is going to be transmitting that energy to you. The same with yoga, the same with you know, with dance, for instance, with classical dance.
Okay.
So the idea of guru disciple is always very present in the field.
Okay.
And it's the case for classical Tantra. And so now we go back to the West, you know, to the Neo Tantra. It's like that stream of energy goes and interprets itself within the Western world, within the reality of the Western world. It gets actualized instead of going like, oh, we are going to spend years or hours studying the scriptures. Instead of studying the scriptures, then you go like, what does the world need right now within that? Instead of going and spending years learning the subtleties of the Sanskrit language and how to interpret the text, what did the ancient seers and wise men meant by what they tried to write and interpret? You go like, no, I'm having an experience.
Yeah.
How can the field of Tantra be embodied in that space? So, you know, those two interpretations are like two parallel ways, you know. So now I'm just going to share with you my experience, you know, of what happened to me. So years back, I went into diving really, really deep into like shadow fields, right? Shadow fields means that you let go of the matrix, and I went to live in nature, and I went back into being really like into the world. I was using music, I was using different things. Within that space, I started connecting with an energy. So this is an experience. And then within that experience, then the energy of a master that is called Mahavatar Babaji, right? Mm-hmm. So Mahavatar Babaji is a master that is said to have been in the same body, in the same incarnation for like 800 years. So I didn't meet him physically, but he's a figure, an avatar figure in the consciousness of the planet, in the collective. And I believe that this energy, you know, became really real to me. The moment I saw a picture of that being, which was just a drawing or a design or a painting, I was like, oh my God, that's my teacher, that's my guru, that's the energy that I'm supposed to be following. So that happened back in, 22 years ago.
So your teacher doesn't have to be a physical being that's here with you
exactly.
teaching.
Yeah, that's very, very important, because sometimes you, I had like 12 years of training, of classical training with a guru and sitting and going to retreats and so on. And then at some point, I have the feeling that my consciousness started accessing its own self-sourcing power with different sources of energy. So within this field of the invisible, you have, you know, what we call the ascended masters, right? You have Master Jesus and Kutumi and Saint Germain and all that. So those masters are beings that you take a picture and you put them on the altar, on your altar, and you believe that there is some form of connection within the invisible. So when we, Mahavatar Babaji is one of those masters or one of those energy fields, and it's enough for you to sit down and start actually connecting with energy through using maybe a mantra or meditating on a picture, to start actually drawing into your field that a very specific frequency that is the lineage. So for me, this master or this field represents the ultimate yogi or the ultimate tantrika. Okay, it means that when I'm looking for a model of evolution, like an example, a role model of what my energy is supposed to look like, I enter in resonance with that.
Why is that person a role model? Like, why do they have that really attracts you?
I think it's because of the role that they place in the energetic hierarchy of the planet. You know, it means that you have certain people who are going to be concentrating a field of energy. It's like a guru field, you know, you can call it, or a master field. And then from there, they are going to be radiating very hard. So very, very strong to the planet. So for instance, you can see that throughout human evolution, you have leaders in all sorts of fields, in the field of science, in the field of art. And suddenly when we think of Van Gogh, you go like, why is it that this being who is no longer alive, you know, his paintings are great, but why is it that that specific person is having such an impact? Because he reached a certain degree of perfection in the transmission on the or the art that creates a field of resonance that we can really acknowledge and recognize. And so when it comes to the field of yoga and tantra, it's the same, you know, you want to have some form of guidance. You can do it by yourself without necessarily connecting with a teacher or guru, but it's going to take much longer, you know. It's like you want to go and climb the Everest. If you chat with somebody who has already been there like 20 times, you go like, it's going to be easier.
And so with tantra, for example, some people interpret it as like more the sexual part of the practice. For some people, it's like a whole philosophy of living. So if you were to describe tantra to someone in like 30 seconds, maybe you tell me something.
In 30 seconds,
Like, how would you describe it?
My own definition is tantra, or the path that I'm designing, the vital tantra system, for me, it's a complete path of life mastery. A complete path of life mastery. Path of life mastery and energetic mastery. The goal is for you to be a master.
Okay.
To be fully in control, mastery of what's happening in your life.
And the mastery, what is the purpose of that mastery? Is it your own happiness to feel good and empowered? Is it more driven towards the outside world?
The first step is for your own happiness and for your own balance. It's like
is it mastery on your on your emotions, mastery well, on your body.
The way I design it is that I have five branches, right? Okay. So you have sex, body, mind, money, and spirit.
Okay.
So within the context of sex, because sexual energy is really at the core of lots of things that happen on this planet, you have family life, you have social life, you have. I simplify it, I just call it sex, because it's a lot of what's happening within that context is based on the sexual energy. For instance, family life, basically you would not have a family without sexual energy at the core of that.
Yeah.
How do you make babies? Well, you use the sexual energy.
Is it? So how do Shiva on how to make babies?
you make babies, you have intercourse because there is sexual energy at the core that is going to create attraction. And eventually you give rise and birth to a family. So family life, that is at the core of many people's lives, you know, it's like you want to dedicate your life to your family, to your children, to your wife or your husband. It's like it's at the core. So you've got sex, you know, just to simplify, we're going to call it like that.
Yeah.
Sex, body, mind, money, and spirit. Okay. So body, everything that has to do with your physical, you know, being in good shape, nutrition and all that. This is a big part of mastering life. If you think about, you know, what's going on in the US right now, that maybe 40% of people are obese, you know, like the nutrition strategies on this planet, on a planetary level, are completely fucked up.
Yes.
You know, it's like we need to optimize so many things. So some people manage to get it right and some people are, you know. So you've got body and then mind. So by mind, I mean thoughts, emotions, feelings. How do you use your mind as a vehicle? And the goal is for your mind to be your best ally. Yeah. You know, your mind, if you wake up in the morning, your mind is like chatter, you're not good enough, you know, it's like you've got all these limiting self-beliefs and self-talk and you don't know how to channel the power of your mind, the power of manifestation, you know, then that's going to be a very strong limiting factor. And on the money over here, I'm thinking of changing that one to mission, you know. Basically, it's the impact that you have around the world. It's your career, everything that has to do with your creative energy and what you bring into the world. Again, I simplify it to money because money is a big aspect, you know. You go like, oh, money, that's dirt. No, money is currency, right? It's like, for instance, if you try to sell me something or you created something and then you try to give it to me and we have an energetic exchange between you and I, that's a very secret transaction. So we go back to the secretness of that, of that element. And then you have spirit. So spirit means that you try to connect with the greater reality. For instance, right now we're having this conversation. This is a temple space. I've got mantras everywhere, invocations. The woman who just arrived over there, you don't see her, but she's giving some offerings to my stairs and to my little other temple over there. So, you know, that's it. If you want to simplify, you have sex, body, mind, money, and spirit. The goal is to master all of that. So master doesn't mean that you are perfect. It means that you have a level of optimization, 80 to 100% in this range. Once you are at 80 to 100%, you know, for instance, when it comes to sex, it doesn't mean that, you know, you will never manage to master absolutely everything, right? There is always going to be places of improvement, but you have a certain degree of life satisfaction in those areas. So if you score 20% on all of these, you're probably not going to be very happy, you know. So it's much more than just happiness, you know. The goal is to have a level of balance in all these areas.
Yeah, that's interesting. Why do you think it's so sex is an important part of our lives, like there's and of our energy, like we, you know, even in, I don't know if you've read Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill, you know, even in that book that's not on tantra or sexuality, it talks about sexual energy being our most powerful creative energy. Freud talks a lot about it too.
Yeah.
And like, why do my thoughts is like people associate tantra almost only with sex when they don't know about it much, because it doesn't exclude it. And in our societies, we often repress thinking about sexuality, or it's quite taboo.
Yeah.
Do you feel that's why people associate tantra with sexuality, or do you feel that sexuality is really at the center of tantra?
No, I don't think that sexuality is at the center of tantra.
Okay.
You know, it's right now. But I have a model of our vision. I'm going to share that with you if it's okay. So When I was back, you know, I go in these Himalayan caves. I'm like 5,000 meters high in the Himalayas, freezing at night in these caves. And then I'm getting all these downloads and insights. So those are caves that have been activated by wise men for, you know, hundreds of years. And it's like really being in a broadcasting station. So I start getting some really solid insights. And what comes to mind is like, Tantra is not something that is crystallized in a certain form. Tantra is like a field of potential, right? Imagine that you have, that it's a living intelligence, that it's a spirit or an angelic force or an angelic power. So imagine that this thing or this being is sitting there on the top of the Himalayas, you know, like a sphere of potential. And it's right there over us right now. So this field of potential is going to incarnate itself. And as a compassionate energy is going to circulate and go and heal the places that need the most healing. So when that energy incarnates itself 500 years ago with some teachers or gurus, masters in India, it's going to take a certain form. They are going to, through the filter of their experience, they are going to transmit that in the form of teachings. So imagine that you have this energy touching you, and then through the filter of your mind, through the filter of your experience, through the filter of what you are, your culture, you are going to interpret that energy and then create a teaching out of that. You know, you go like, oh, here's what I'm feeling. So those thoughts are not present over there. You create the thoughts, you create the mindset. So that sphere of Tantra incarnates itself and creates the classical Tantra. Then, you know, 500 years later, we're here in the Western world, you've got the same sphere inspiring and crystallizing itself and then transmitting itself. And then it creates a different field of energy. So, for instance, my interpretation of what came up when I was in the Himalayas over there, having those experiences, was the field. It became the vital sex idea when it comes to sexual energy is to harmonize your sexual energy and find ways of circulating and using it in a way that is optimized. So the reason why I believe it's touching the West and it's incarnating itself a lot within sexual practices is not because there is something that is wrong or distorted or Westerners are stupid idiots. No, it's like we are all human beings craving for certain experiences, and I believe that the energy of Tantra right now is actually sponsoring, you know, some of those practices. So there is, you know, there is a little bit of a limit there. There are lots of things that are being called Tantra today that I would not call them Tantra, because for me Tantra is a mystical pathway. There is a spiritual dimension to it that is really strong. So when you see it and you simply go like, oh, let's have a sensual experience, for me, well, you know, that's, I would call that conscious sexuality, you know, awakened sexuality, awakened coupling or awakened sex or something like that. I would start calling it Tantra the moment I start diving into having really a mystical experience. The moment, for instance, we look into each other, you know, we put some marks over here, we actually turn your body into a temple. It's like, then suddenly we go like, okay, and now something starts entering into resonance that puts us into 5D. It's no longer personal development. It becomes something else. And then within the context of that, then there is all sorts of things that we can do.
Okay, you know. Very interesting. So that's that distinction, because sometimes people, I feel, reduce Tantra to conscious sexuality. Well, it's way more than this.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. You know, in my system, the sexual part represents 10% of the system.
Okay.
You know, it's a fraction. It's important because there is a lot of frustration and dissonance in that field. You know, and it's something that we go like, as human race, we don't score very high in terms of sexual mastery. As a human race, as a you know, we are at 20%. There is lots of, you know, all the porn, there is lots of abuse, there is a lot of trauma, there is, you know, probably 80% of people on this planet feel sexually deprived. You know, they feel like they are not having a sex life which is really fulfilling. To the point where they go, they wake up, oh my God, I had these orgasms and I had such an amazing time and the bonding experience with my lover. No, it's like, you know, probably 50, 60, 70% of couples, they are in marriage, they go, oh yeah, let's have sex, you know. It's like, it's more like a chore. It can be interesting, you know, it's romantic, there is energies and emotions, but it could be way, way higher. Like right now, honestly, the once you start tapping into the tantric sex practices or the vital sex practices, it's like the potential that you unleash is completely on a completely different level, because you start actually just creating spaciousness around that. Instead of this being focused on the genitals, it becomes like a multi-dimensional experience.
And
yeah, that's pretty, like, super interesting. And we, before we started, we talked about, you know, how we can give a direction to this podcast around how Tantra can be kind of useful to the world or contribute to create a better world somehow. Mm-hmm. I'm also very inspired when you do, so I don't know if it's part of Tantra, but when you do your cacao ceremonies where we're together, and actually I stole that from you. I do those little cacao ceremonies in Sydney now, and I'm like, and shout for what you want for the world, love and abundance.
Fantastic.
So do you feel like we need, as a human species at the moment, to heal the world in a way? And how can Tantra use this?
Yeah, for sure. So the way I look at it, for me, Tantra is a path of life mastery and optimization.
Yeah.
So if you feel like a big aspect of your life is missing, you know, like, for instance, you feel sick all the time. Mm. And then we go like, okay, let's go to battle to save the world, right? Mm. To rescue, to stop sex trafficking, to do, you know, to simply help the planet in a way that would be charitable, coming from heart. And you are dealing with specific personal challenges. You just go through a divorce, or you are in big tension with your father, or you know, so that those things are going to be draining your energy.
Mm.
And so the first step is to optimize yourself.
Okay,
you know, to
I
bring
love
yourself.
That.
Yeah.
You can't pour from an empty cup.
Yeah, because, you know, if you and I are going to battle, symbolically, we've got an enemy over there, and we are like ready to fight, and we are like, and we want to be partnering on that level of resonance. And then in the middle of the battlefield, you start crying like a baby because you've got some undigested emotions in your system. I go like, okay, well, we come back to battle later. Let's first deal with the trauma or whatever is happening over there, you know. And so the idea is to optimize, you know, and then once you optimize, then what do? Then once we are ready to go to battle, you know, symbolically again, we don't want to hurt anybody. This is not about creating conflicts, but about having an impact, a positive impact on this planet. So there are tons of places right now that need help.
Yeah.
And it's light warriors, people who are awake and they understand really the dynamics of life. And they go like, well, I'm ready to have an impact. So, you know, as a symbol in my own journey, I was probably in training for a good 12 years before I was ready to actually engage.
Yeah.
So the 12 years of preparation were like, you know, I went to live in the jungles for like 6 months. Yeah. I was in the forest of Europe. I tried. I collapsed. I discovered about my nutrition. I discovered about relationships. Mm. There were all sorts of levels of optimization. And then at some point, it was really a very specific awakening where I felt like this energy inside of me was like, I'm done. Mm. I'm done with the training.
Yeah, I'm ready.
I feel like I'm complete. Now the things that I need to understand about myself is complete. And this was close to 20 years ago, so early 2000. But within a couple of years, I was searching for ways of contributing to the planet.
Yeah.
And I was in constant prayer. I was like, my life is no longer about me.
Mm.
Okay, this is very important. It's like, my life is no longer about me. It's no longer about my ego. It's no longer about personal gratification, building a nice house, blah, 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 all that stuff. No, it's like, I'm in service to the planet and humankind from now on. So the prayer was like, guide me, take me where I need to be.
Yeah.
So I believe that there are forces at play, you know, that are incarnating themselves and want, you know, sometimes just want to hire you.
Mm.
They go like, oh, you look like you want to do some good for the planet, and they want to incarnate themselves through you. So once we start touching on that, then that's the next octave.
Mm.
You know, the Tantra is still a sphere of a certain resonance. And when we touch on that, I believe we go into galactic awakening, we go into forces that are beyond the planet Earth, we start talking about alien life forms. So now I don't want to lose you into the process. Yeah. You know, this might be a little bit too much.
Ubudian conversations. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, usually.
Talking about aliens.
No, but basically, I do believe that we are accessing something where we start to get in touch with our, you know, star bodies or space bodies. Mm-hmm. There are lots of people who no longer identify themselves as human beings on this planet, you know. You know, it's not even a question of gender or not gender. It's like, I'm actually coming from some distant planet. Okay, so right now when we're talking about that, sometimes it becomes a little bit you know, I don't know, I don't have a term for that, but it's a little bit disembodied or not too grounded. Woo-woo, I don't know what woo-woo is, but yeah, woo-woo. So losing, you know, losing touch with the physical reality.
Yeah, yeah.
But I believe, you know, it's like, for instance, I arrived in this temple that was offered to me, and this is sacred geometry, you know. It's an octagon. We're not inside a pyramid, but it's like being inside a crystal right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are lots of things that we do that we don't understand the meaning of. For instance, right now, okay, this is to keep you grounded. Mm-hmm. This sign is to create a stargate, actually. You didn't know about that. This is the sign of Shiva. So this is the Trishula on your forehead. Another one. So
just for the listeners, we have a bit of painting on our face and body.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. So then when we start touching on that, the idea is this, it is to synchronize our efforts. Because if you are doing something for the planet humankind, I'm doing something and we are counterbalancing our efforts. So right now what I believe is that the planet needs help. I mean, not the planet humankind, the planet will be fine. The planet and humankind, the human race needs to find its place, its harmonious place on this planet. And there are lots of things that require our energetic alignment. One of those, for instance, is you know, awakened leadership. Mm-hmm. If you look around the planet, you will see that a lot of our leaders are actually betraying the greater good. You know, they are working for a handful of corporations who are making tons of money, polluting the environment and destroying people's lives. And literally, that's ecocides, it's genocides on a large scale, just so that some armed dealers get really rich. And you go like, so why are they doing that? Why are they allowed to do that? Is because they are being sponsored or helped by politicians who have been corrupted in the process. So the whole leadership system on this planet needs an upgrade.
Yeah.
And so where are those codes going to come from? Well, I don't have necessarily all the codes for leadership. If I was exposed to this level of power, maybe I would end up being corrupted as well. You know, I don't know. Somebody comes and says,
do you think so?
I don't know. I haven't been there. So it's easy when you're not exposed to it to be like, oh, yeah, no, these are idiots. No, it's like they are idiots or they are behaving a certain way because they are exposed to a certain level of power.
I feel, though, you'd have personal practices that would prevent you from doing that because I don't know a lot of presidents, for example, who like meditate in the morning and have like strong practices that keep them in alignment.
Exactly. But, you know, once you are exposed to that level of power, you don't know what's going to happen or what can happen.
True.
I believe that the reason why those things are like that right now is because a lot of the systems that we use on this planet are corrupted. Okay, corrupted means that they are outdated. It's like you have a Windows operating system that is the old program, and we need to transfer the new program. So I believe that the tantra and what I practice here within the codes, other codes and other sources of energy, we're just talking about tantra, but there is two or three other sources of energy. I believe those are, they represent new codes of evolution for the planet and mankind. You know, like some guy in the middle of the Sinai, you know, 2,000, 3,000 years ago, he comes and says, here are the commands. You shall not hurt your neighbor. You know, why did prophets come with commands? Is because, why do they come with instructions for humankind? Is because the codes need to be adapted. They need to be changed. It's like if we are doing something right now that is destroying the planet and polluting the oceans and putting plastic everywhere, you go like, we've got old codes.
So what new codes do you feel would be relevant for today?
Well, the new codes is a few things that are very simple. It's that hurting the planet is a crime. Hurting the planet is a crime. How come if I have a dog right now and I take the dog and I, you know, chop his throat, I'm going to go to jail. I do that to a pig, I don't go to jail.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. Yeah. Or you have some politician, you know, what's happening right now with the fires in Amazon, right? Stimulating the burning of thousands of species and animals being, how come that's not seen as a crime? It is a crime against humankind and against, so adapting the systems. These are the things that should be really punished.
Yeah.
It's ecocide.
What kind of systems? Would it be some global governments or? Like,
well, how we implement it is a different thing.
Yeah.
But right now, Right now we're talking, we are panicking, you know, and we go like, oh my God, all these fires, let's sponsor some NGO, let's, you know, it's like, no, there is a misunderstanding in the fundamentals of the corporations and the people who are in power. So you go like, what do we need to solve that? I don't have the final solution, but I know that it starts with one place. It's like shifting the values really intensely. Yeah. Like when you practice, for instance, heart opening practices, right? You go like, Anahata Jaya, you know, the way we sing them, right? You practice those heart opening, it becomes really, really hard to hurt nature. It's like, it's like my hands are not moving.
That's what I feel like, because we can talk about systems of governance, and of course that's important, but that's where I love it too with Tantra. Is like, if you raise your vibration, you don't need a rule that tells you not to do something.
Exactly.
You just naturally don't want to do it. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like for me now, I'm work on the beach, and if there's a piece of plastic, I'm like, I feel bad if I don't grab it. That's annoying sometimes.
Exactly. Exactly. So what you're doing,
I don't need rules really, and I feel like the way to change the world is more through like raising the vibe and getting people to do the right thing by themselves because they are happy and activated, rather than a system of governance that fits that.
Exactly. So what is happening when you walk on the beach and you see a piece of plastic and you pick it up, it means that you're awakening new moral codes. So the new moral codes right now is that there is probably, like, I don't know, if we start tuning in, we would identify probably 10 to 20 new moral codes that need to be implemented in the human consciousness as a collective. Again, not from a place of control, but you in a box. No, it's like,
you don't want 10 new commandments.
Well, we can, you know, it's like,
like a commandment, when you see a piece of plastic on the beach, you shall take it and put it in the bin.
No, but for instance, the four agreements, right, which are spread everywhere right now. Well,
so four agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz.
Can
you share with the listeners which ones they are?
You know, I don't even know which ones they are, but I know. Yeah, let's not dive into it because I'm going to get sidetracked. But the idea is that those four agreements are going to have an impact because people start implementing. Like, for instance, one of them is be true to your word, right? Yeah. So be impeccable with your word. So that means that you want to have integrity. So integrity means if you say, you promise something, you're going to stick to it. Yeah, that's a fucking amazing moral code to have.
Yeah.
You know, and another one is, for instance, you know, it's like, you see the pollution that is going to, for instance, you see a cruise ship and then you see people throwing their rubbish directly into the ocean. You know that this is wrong.
Yeah.
You feel it in your heart. Yeah. You feel that we should not be doing that. Yeah. So it's a moral code that needs to be adapted on a large scale.
Yeah.
So right now, for instance,
and it's a code that are less rules. Like if you take the four agreements, they're more like things in alignment with yourself. So for example, like, always do your best. That's something you check in with yourself.
Yeah.
And from there, know what's the right action to take, rather than having like rules written in a book for every situation.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So that's the new kind of agreement.
Yeah, yeah.
You feel it.
Exactly. But for instance, if we check with the listeners, right now, and we go like, do you believe that abusing an animal is wrong?
Yeah.
Like probably 99% of people would be, oh yeah, sure, we should stop abusing animals.
Yeah.
So once we agree on that, you say, what's a simple way to stop abusing animals? Is stop using animal products.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what does that mean? It means that the world is going vegan.
Mm.
It's simple truth. It's a very simple thing. And you go like, oh, I'm attached to meat. No. Okay, so there is a moment where there is an hypocrisy that kicks in, you know? It's like, for instance, so it's something that we need to adapt as human race. It's not like, I don't believe that there is evil and bad, or, you know, it's like, the people who are loyal to their corporations and to their shareholders, they are doing their job.
Yeah.
It's just the system is corrupted right now. So the moment you have 99% of the people with impactful power to change change the minds and have, you know, it's like right now, with the power of the internet, we are anchoring those codes on a large scale.
Mm.
And, you know, internally, we know what is right and what is wrong. We know through our moral compass, you've got the compass right there, precisely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is like to make sure that you don't lose track with direction. Mm-hmm. Well, it's the same for me. All these things, they are like, they are anchor points to yeah. that guide me into making the right choices every day. And right now, neither you or I are perfect. I'm driving a scooter in town. I wish it was possible to have an electric one, but it's not right now. So I'm still driving a scooter. I'm still flying an airplane every now and then. So I'm as guilty as anybody else. The fact that I'm practicing some meditation practice doesn't make me a better person than anybody else. I've got some things that work for me. And then every now and then I go like, oh, maybe I can help you with that. Yeah. Or maybe we can have an impact on a larger scale and impact the lives of. But we need to, you know, we need precisely once we start mastering these tantric vehicles and these spiritual practices, then I think it's really, really important to bring that back into the world. And not from an egoic perspective, it's like, I'm creating my brand. And I'm, you know, it's like, yeah, if that's the way to have an impact. Yeah. But the first thing is that we need to shift those dynamics on a larger scale. So I'm not a politician. I come from a place which is, you know, spiritual and personal training, development. So these are the tools that I can access. But I've got lots of my friends who might be in the political scene or in the scientific scene.
Yeah.
And so it's like having an impact on those on those levels. You know, right now we need to work together. Artists, scientists, politicians, businessmen, people who do who are into marketing, you know. Yeah.
And for you personally, what do you think your like your task for the world is at the moment? Like, is it pragmatically how through cacao ceremonies, through events, through creative, a special vibe here in Bali, is that how you feel you elevate the vibration of our world?
Yeah. What is being offered to me right now is like any form of broadcasting, any way of I can impact. Sometimes I'm going to have a conversation with somebody who's just visiting. You know, I was talking with a woman a few years back and she's, you know, high position in the politics in Boston or New York. So I go like, wow, great. You know, if I can influence you or make you realize certain things, then you are going to impact a lot of people, you know. So sometimes it's just one-on-one conversation with somebody. Sometimes it's a cacao ceremony. Sometimes it's through Instagram stories. The common ground to all of that is, for me, my mission is to speak truth as much as possible, that when I'm speaking, it comes from a place of, I'm channeling something that feels the closest to the ultimate reality.
Yeah.
That's one thing. The another one is that I want to have an impact.
Yeah.
It's like, I want, you came to the to this temple for the first time today, right? I want your life to be changed forever by this experience. I really, that's my wish. It is that right now I want to be able to look at you and be like, where are the places where you need help, where your system needs help? Pump energetic vitamin pills in your system and fucking blast whatever is holding you back from realizing your mission. So if I can have that kind of impact, see, right now we don't have a commercial agreement. I don't care. You know, it's not about making money out of you. It's not about that. It's about, we need to just radiate that. So on a personal mission is that I want to reach as many people as possible.
Yeah.
You know, I want the planet to wake up.
Yeah.
My intention. And if this happens within the context of doing a vital ceremony somewhere, you know, like 300, 400 people coming together, if it's at Burning Man, if it's somewhere in the political rooms of some government, or speaking to some head at in some corporation, you know, it's like the pathways that are given to me are those pathways. But the good news is that you have thousands and thousands of people who are doing the work that I'm doing around the planet. You know, you're one of them. You wake up. Why are you doing what you're doing? It's because you want to have an impact.
Yeah.
You know, I can see that you are not coming from a place of, oh, this is about my ego. And no, it's like you've got an ego. I've got an ego, but it's not about your own personal gratification. You know that there is a mission behind that.
That's an interesting, like a friend of mine, Lucy, she's been on that podcast. She asked me once, like, that was a really good question. What if, you know, your mission succeeded, but like no one gives you credit for it? Like, would you be happy with that? And that's a good question to check in if you're doing things from, Tony Robbins would say, from contribution or from significance.
Yeah.
It's like, and I know, you know, for me, I know there's a bit of both. Like, I'd say the most important for me is my contribution, what I help with. But, you know, my little ego is not against a bit of recognition.
Of course, of course.
So I think it's fine. Like, I don't judge my little need for significance. It's cool, but as much as I can, I meditate and I recenter myself on being driven by contribution rather than significance.
Exactly.
Which I think is like having an impact, but like come from that place of why do you want to have an impact? Because the paradox of what we're doing is like, for me, I want to be not special. Like I want to be ordinary in a way, because I want people on the planet to be like awakened, you know?
Yeah.
So you become like,
yeah,
everyone's like this. Like,
yeah,
like
yeah,
if you smile and you hug and everyone does it, it's like, yeah, like everyone does the same. So,
yeah, yeah.
So that's, I found that's an interesting one, like wanting to have an impact. But for me, it's making sure I'm really driven by that impact happening rather than just me making this impact.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though in the
happening
end,
by itself,
it,
yeah,
it combines.
How old are you?
I'm 29.
29,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You're doing great, man. It's like, you know, the you are following your truth, following your path, and following what you feel is. And you're sourcing, right? You're like going by instinct, by intuition. It's not, you don't have like this master incredible plan, you know, it's like you are going on a mission. It's very clear and it's very obvious. And what I would say is that for those of you who are listening and who want to get a little bit of direction and impact, what I believe makes the difference is when you are really grounded. You know, we can do lots of things. You can go and have this amazing meditation practice, and you spend 10 days on meditation, and you go back into the world, and your life is in a mess. So it's important to realize first that it's one step at a time in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
If you take 10 steps every day that bring you a little bit closer to your goal, you're going to make lots of progress. So stay hopeful that that you are doing the right thing. There are forces at play that are watching over us. I believe that really strong. So you're not doing that alone. So prayer and calling works really well, you know. And then the next thing is that once you start meditating on these things, journaling and doing the practices, then you're going to have insights for taking action. Okay. So when the insight comes and says, well, you know, try to modify a little bit your relationship with your partner, or do something a little bit different, or change your diet, you know, some aspect of your diet, eat less sugar, you know, things like that. So you're going to get insights. It's very important to take action.
Yeah.
If you don't take action, it freezes the process. So when you get insights, you're going to feel the inspiration to take some form of action. And the moment you take that action, it's going to take you out of your comfort zone.
Most
of the times it's going to be something different. Even changing some minute aspects of your diet can be a challenge for people. So if you go like, okay, I'm going to give up red meat next week, you go like, okay, well, try one step at a time, try it for a week, try it for a day, see how it feels. And then you go like, okay, well, yeah, I think I can do it for another week, you know. And then you, one step at a time, you will notice that things are evolving. You don't have to rescue the planet, okay? The planet, I think the planet will be fine. This is a movement, a mass movement of people.
You need to rescue youth.
Yeah, exactly. If you are, if your life is in a mess, then it's going to hurt everybody around you. So, you know, before
even
we identify...
Even if your life's not a mess, for example, my life's not a mess, but... you know, I could do with more financial abundance to spread my message. So I prioritized it because I used to give to charity quite a bit. And then I was like, well, actually, I'm giving, but like I don't have the money to spread the message as much as I would love to.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
so I'm like, you know, give when you're, you know, Bill Gates, he did his foundation when he was a billionaire, right? And I'm not saying you have to wait to be a billionaire to give.
No,
And I give a little bit, but it's like,
I feel like
obviously if your life's a mess, you want to prioritize yourself, but even if your life is great, like for me, every day I prioritize myself.
Exactly. And I think it's good to be, you know, dare to be selfish, dare to think of yourself first. You know, this is why when you're in an airplane, you go like the gas mask.
Yeah.
You know, put it first on yourself and then help your kids. Because if you die, everybody.
Yeah.
So it's important to take care of your needs. And then as soon as possible, start having a positive impact on the people around you. But I mean, it's the thing to understand is that this requires some form of action and some form of risk. When you are entering into the process of expanding and optimizing your life, you are going to learn or discover how to do things a little bit differently than what you have been doing until now. So you have to be open for change. Change requires energy, it requires investment, it requires focus. You know, if you are out of shape and you go like, okay, I've got to lose 20 pounds, you will have to make some form of effort and take some form of action that will stretch you out of your comfort zone. Go to the gym, feel uncomfortable about people looking at you, you know, all these little things. But my inspiration to you is fucking do it, you know, fucking take steps in the right direction and keep on expanding in that direction. So a call for you, you know, my website is vitalcoaching.com. There is, I've got 10,000 pages of content, you know, 90 books in there, 2,000 pages of video on YouTube. 90% of that is in free access. Just go and enjoy. And on Instagram, I'm Vital Coaching. On Facebook, Vital Coaching as well. Okay. Vital Tantra, if you search for Vital Tantra or Vital Coaching, you will find me. Shiva Rajaya as well. And feel free to send questions, you know.
Nice,
and if any of those questions, I feel like they are material for really having a deep dive, then I will invite you to sign up for coaching. I have some of the what I do. Pays the bills, you know. So it's really when we dive into coaching, it's powerful experiences. And wherever you are around the world, we can do that via Skype and via Facebook Messenger. It's very easy to set it up, or Instagram. And but yeah, just reach out, okay? It's really important that you don't feel isolated in the process. I might be the right person to help you. Maybe he will be, maybe other people will be. But the point is that there is help available there for you to start taking steps in the right direction. Don't isolate yourself. Discover community around you. Having lots of friends and people who are on the same journey as you are really, really helps. And keep on searching. Be hopeful. Believe in humankind. Humankind is a, we are on a fantastic journey together. Our family is humankind, our home is the planet.
Boom.
You believe that?
Yes.
It's like when something is burning in the Amazon, it's our garden, it's our collective collective garden, it's our planet. And our family is humankind. You have another human being or another life form getting hurt on this planet, we are here because we care, okay?
Yeah, I can see you care.
Yeah, for sure.
Beautiful.
Yeah, this is where all that comes from. Yeah. You know, the desire to film that with you today is because I want every listener to get something out of that is going to, you know, inspire you to take action. Okay.
And so, for them to get something very concrete, maybe it's somewhere they can look on your website. But so, if I was a listener and I was like, okay, great, there's something I want to implement right now in my life, maybe you have an exercise you want to direct them to, something you can look for that's simple.
Yeah, there is. I'm not going to dive into it, but basically the core things.
Like one little thing.
One little thing. So there is, you know, something that I use a lot is the fire breath.
Fire breath.
So it goes like. So breathing in and out through your mouth dynamically, this gives you a boost of energy. But I encourage you really go on Instagram because I'm posting every day, you know, stories and tons of resources. Yeah. And this is not a commercial invitation. It's just like go and grab what you need. Yeah. Get in touch if you want some more and basically keep on moving forward. Yeah,
that's cool. Okay, so you start fire breath maybe every morning, do like 30 seconds, you know? Like super simple. You'll find tutorial, I guess, somewhere.
If you go on YouTube, you've got tons of videos on that. So again, if you want to reach out, it's vitalcoaching.com. That's the website. Vital Coaching on Instagram.
Okay.
Vital Coaching on Facebook as well, or Vital Tantra on Facebook
And we'll
as
put the link. But so you start doing fire breath every morning and you follow Vital Coaching, let's say, on Instagram, and the combination of the two is every morning you get your breath set, you start the day feeling amazing, and you'll get in your Instagram feed between two funny cat videos, you'll get a bit of insights, like a daily reminder. So
you
post a lot, so that'll be really helpful.
Yeah,
thank you so much, Shiva. We always finish with a big warm hug.
Yes, and some jayas.
And some jaya. So what's
so
jaya?
It goes like that. Jaya is for victory. Okay, jaya. This is what we do in the ceremony.
In Sanskrit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Jaya Shiva Shankara.
Okay.
Victory to Shiva, the bringer of joy.
Right. Okay.
So, You throw your hands to the sky. It was Jaya five times. Okay.
Jaya! 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 Jaya!
You can do that at home when you wake up in the morning. Okay?
Feel amazing.
It's going to be a day of victory.
So is that how you start your day? Like your alarm rings? Do-do-do-do. Jaya! Yeah. Jaya!
I don't have an alarm.
So when the sun goes
out. Exactly. Yeah. When the sun goes out. Okay. I've got some green smoothie for you, brother. Thank you for the opportunity. Keep on rising, okay?
Thank you. And thank you guys for listening. Do your little fire breath and ask us question if you have. Thank you so much for
we'll see you
your
soon.
Attention. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast and sticking until the end. I want to send you, the listener, a little message because I'm always very honored that people take 40, 50 minutes of their time to listen to the interviews I'm creating. So thanks again. If you have any comment, of course, don't hesitate to reach out.